Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
A very warm good morning to Covenant East here in Suntec. Shalom. Shalom. Yeah, it's such a joy to be able to share with you all, especially in this season of 40-day prayer of Love Singapore leading up to National Day. And we are praying to God, asking Him to turn Singapore Godward. And in line with that, today our topic for sharing is to disciple Singapore, blessing our foreign guests. And that's really a faith exploit of a covenant. And we really want to pray that God will turn everyone on this island Godward. And that includes our foreign friends in Singapore. Right? So that's really where our joy is. And as we think about this theme of discipling Singapore, as we think about, you know, how we bless our foreign guests, I actually have this very simple question. And the question is, how can we be a blessing? How can you and I be a blessing? And for today, I'm going to be very, very unoriginal. I'm going to lean on Covenant's discipleship process and strategy, something that we're all very familiar with. The words are there. What are the three words? Shall we say it together? Win, change, and send. Okay, this is not original. This is actually, I think for some Blackout Sundays in Suntec, when you head up to Woodlands, you will actually see the words right on the wall. Okay, I'll show you a slide of that later. Win, change, and send. That's our discipleship. But for today, you know, I'm going to do a little bit differently in that we are going to look at win, change, send, but from a different perspective. You see, what happened is whenever we see these three words, at least from Covenant, I see it as a church thing that we have to do. It's at least from a human perspective. But today I'm going to step behind the curtains, as it were, behind the scenes, to see what God is actually doing with this strategy. Him winning, Him changing, Him sending. All right? So that's what I'm going to do. Shall we just stick again? Pause, maybe we can bow our heads and we just commit this time, one more time, to the Lord, asking God to speak. Shall we do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving as we're reminded of the grace of the gospel, that because of that we can sing 1,000 hallelujahs. And we want to say that God, indeed you are deserving, that this is your song. And we want to pray, even today as we go to you in your word, that, Lord, you will speak to us and open our eyes to see the foreign guests in our land and where you are at work in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say together, amen. Win, change, and send. Let me start with win, okay? And alongside with this three words, win, change, and send, I'm going to also share... I'm going to share three very familiar passages. Some of you have memorized, like myself, we have memorized this, Romans 1:16. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. All right? I don't know about you, but when I memorized this verse a long time ago, I think I was struck by the first phrase, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's why we go out there and share the gospel, right? But actually, that is the human part. That's the human part. When we really look at the weight of this verse, where the theological anchor is, as it were, it is actually because of the word because. We're not ashamed because, and because of what? Because it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes. So this is the thing that is actually at work. And that's really the power of God that really gives the assurance of salvation for who? For everyone. Okay? There's no distinction. Jew, Gentile, and you know, all of us here are mostly Gentiles, right? But importantly, it is not just for Singaporeans too. But the gospel is for all people, including our foreign guests. Okay, our foreign guests. Yes, and because the gospel is for everyone, including our foreign guests. And my question here is, who are our foreign guests in Singapore? All right, who are the foreign guests in Singapore? And here I have a slide that's from Ministry of Manpower. It's the latest statistics in 2023. And yes, please, you can take a picture of this one, no problem. You look at the total population of Singapore. We are hitting 5.92 million, almost 6 million people. Okay, very soon it will be 6 million. But if you look at the marine sector, that's about 70%. 70, maroon plus orange, 70% of people on this island are either Singaporeans or permanent residents. Okay? Turn to the guy next to you and say, 30% are foreigners. Can you say, 30% are foreigners. In other words, close to one third of people on this land, on this island, they are not permanently here. They're not Singaporeans. They are immigrants. They're people who will come in and they will go back home one day. All right? And of this one third, about half of them, in the darker greens here, these are the people of work permit holders, construction, marine processing sectors, as well as the migrant domestic workers, the domestic helpers. So these actually form about one-sixth of the people on our island. That's a lot. For the talk today, I'm going to focus our attention on this group of foreign guests because they are actually the most vulnerable. The conditions in which they work in Singapore are very difficult sometimes. In certain places, they have been mistreated, ill-treated, a bit like what Jesus said in the Bible, sheep without a shepherd, helpless and harassed. Okay? And I want to turn our attention to this group. And it's very hard to look at figures, so maybe let's look at one human figure here. And this is an Indian migrant worker. And we all know, since COVID 2020, these people who are often marginalized in many, many countries, many societies, right, they were put onto the spotlight. They were, as it were, got centralized, okay, during the COVID pandemic, especially here in Singapore. We know that when the thick of COVID, where our community figures were very, very low, in fact, it was incredibly low, we knew that the explosion of COVID cases in the dormitories went beyond our you know, like our expectation. We were shocked. We were utterly shocked. Singaporeans, we were shocked. That's like God putting his spotlight on this group of people and saying, these people who are at the periphery of many other people, they are at the center of my heart. These people who are at the periphery, for many of us, they are actually at the center of my heart. I care for them. And, you know, in the thick of COVID, many news reports like this one here, you know, it's just commonplace. Many actually were unreported. And many workers were driven to, you know, despair. And some were just driven to the edge of their lives, like this gentleman here. But thankfully, he was saved. This gentleman was saved. Many didn't. There were many who succumbed when they heard that they got a COVID virus. Some of them decided to end their lives. You know, it was that kind of horror stories that we were getting. And that's why God, really, during the time of COVID, he did not waste COVID. And he raised up many churches in Singapore together with Hope Initiative Alliance, which is run by Pastor Samuel Gift. And he was preaching in Woodlands Center this morning. And we aligned ourselves to say that we will reach out to these workers. And Covenant also rose up, and we went. We set up Blessed Migrant Workers, and you guys, some of you were part of this. I can see who you are. You guys rose up, and you came along to distribute care packs, even meals in faraway places like Tuas and other dormitories. And you can see many of these are actually South Asians. And we even went online with some of them in Zoom, you know, playing games with them, and at some point, even sharing spiritual conversations. So this is what you see. On the top right, you can see that's our church office, ACK, and that is where One Tamil Fellowship is housed right now, every Sunday night. So a lot of things happen during the COVID period, and like I say, what we humans so easily marginalized, God centralized, God put at the center, because He cares. He cares for them, and He's at work in their lives. And this slides here are actually pictures of our main work here in Choa Chu Kang, one of the dormitories called Sungai Tengah Lodge. And it's one of the biggest dormitories in Singapore, housing 25,000 workers. And this about 2,000 of them were Chinese workers. And although much of our blessed migrant workers were among South Asians, the Lord actually opened the door for Chinese workers to come in. And, well, in a very ironic way, this is really the powerhouse, the harvest house of all our outreach. Okay, from the year 2022 to 2023, up to 400, okay, 400 people came to faith. Do I hear a clap? It's not a bloated figure. This is actually 400. 400 people came to faith. We have baptized about 80 of them, and even this year alone, about 50 of them have come to faith. Now, they are transient workers. So many of them work here, but when their contract ends, many of them will leave. So the numbers are many, but many of them have also gone back to China. We thank the Lord, because this is really where God is at work when we are not ashamed of the gospel. And then we see His power all out for the people that He loves. Let me bring the story closer to the group of workers that we work closer together. So these are the South Asian Bangladeshi workers. You can see my co-worker, who is actually from India, Mangtar, and he's actually a staff. It's actually our church staff. And he speaks Bengali. And together, we have been reaching out to some of these workers. And I want to really highlight the person in orange, who is actually behind Mangtar. And this is a gentleman we have met at the Sungai Tengah Lodge in Choa Chu Kang. And he's a very strong, in a sense, dedicated to his own faith when we first met him. When we started spiritual conversations with him, he was actually a person who would stand up and actually, sometimes in a very abrupt, aloof and, rather rude way, he would challenge us, you know, rather antagonistic. So his name is, I actually call him Arif here. This is not his real name, but Arif came from that. And we decided that, you know, God loves Arif, and we wanted to spend more time with him. So we spent more time listening to his stories. And out of that, we heard two stories. One was actually that back home. Okay, the first story actually is that he's an injured worker. So he came to Singapore, he took the loans, and then he worked his heart, but he got injured. And once you are injured, you do not have a salary, all right? Once you're injured, you're just confined to the dormitory. The company will still house you, feed you, but that's all. You don't get a salary as long as you're off the medical certificate. So he doesn't have a salary for a few months now. And worst of all, his mother in Bangladesh had a medical situation. She had a shoulder pain, and she went to one of these not-so-qualified doctors who gave an injection, supposing to relieve pain. But it ended up infected. So bad that the skin, the flesh, you know, the joint was exposed. There was a big gaping hole here. She was in ICU. All right, it's very bad. I decided not to put a picture up here. It's really bad. And of course, he was already not earning money. And with this debt in Bangladesh, he was in great need. What could we do here in Singapore? So first of all, we pray. Because that's the best thing, is to pray and ask God for help. But alongside, we also, from Covenant, gave a small financial aid. And through time, through prayer, through walking, through listening to his stories, this gentleman, Arif, by the time Mangtar, our co-worker, passed the Bible to him, he said to Mangtar, he says, "You guys are on the right path. you guys on the right path. And then in the last few months, as we interacted and shared more, he said that I will be going back to Bangladesh soon. But before I go back, I would like to take baptism. Yes. Okay, let's continue to pray for Arif. Let's pray that he will encounter Christ deeply. But from this story, even up to now, we can see that this heart is being won. Won by God. Won by the love of God. By the grace of God. And that's really something that we have to say, that when we, as disciples of Christ, we say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The reality is, it's because it's the power of God at work. And he's doing it in a magnificent way to even people like Arif, who is from a very different background, often very antagonistic to ours. But here he is, his heart opening. Let's win. Win a soul. All right, so that's win. And what's after win? What's the next word? Change. So, change. And if we turn to our Bibles in Galatians 2:20, we have this very, very familiar verse, also by the Apostle Paul. And this is what he says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this is an incredible verse, because this is not just about what we call superficial conversion. This is about deep transformation. This is where the center of gravity changes for this person to say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And really, as we disciple, as we walk the discipleship journey with many of these, including foreign guests, we see that actually God is doing that transformative work through the gospel, especially when they encounter Christ and when they realize that Jesus loved and gave himself for them. Now, this slide here, this is the Tamil service, Tamil fellowship, Tamil service that is meeting every Sunday night. So tonight they'll be meeting at 6:30 in ACK, our church office. All right, and it's really a very vibrant indigenous church, a church that's mostly Tamil Indians, and the service is majority in Tamil. Once a month or so, I will be joining them, and I love this church service because there are two things that they do that's extra than compared to us, and that's number one, they actually memorize God's word. And they actually review God's word together. So they will have the migrant worker stand out in front and actually review. And when he gets it right, he gets a prize. Okay. But secondly, they share testimonies. They really share stories. Two Sundays before, when I was there, I hear the story of this migrant brother. His name is Bernard. And it was all in Tamil. In all things, he said, he was at work and there was this mallet. You know, somebody was hammering something. But the mallet went in the wrong direction, and guess where it hit? You can look at the picture. He was pointing at his left shin, and that's where the mallet went. Pop! Everybody around him, you know, literally was as quiet as you guys right now. They could hear like, and in all honesty, from a medical standpoint, this could have been a fracture. Okay, this should have been a fracture. But by the grace of God, as he prayed, as he rested and he prayed, he did not even need to seek any medical attention. Okay, they were all prepared to bring him to the A&E, but he didn't have to do that. And in fact, he continued working. And on Sunday, he was able to give a testimony and say that he's all well. Maybe we should really clap. Okay, what I'm really saying is, if you were to be fellowshipping with these brothers and sisters in this fellowship, you will be hearing these stories, and you know that God is pursuing them. God is changing them. God is changing them and letting them encounter Christ. Let me share another two more stories from this fellowship. So I'm going to share the story of Amuta. Okay, Amuta is rather short. She looks like a young girl, but she's a mother of two. Okay, she's a young. Now, Amuta came from Tamil Nadu, India, and when she came, she has her own faith, right, from India. But she came to become a helper to our Tamil leaders in Covenant, John and Vasanti. And when John and Vasanti, they have a very, very good habit, and I think we should encourage us to do this every night. The family will gather together in the living room to pray every night. All right. So with the son and daughter. So four of them will be praying. And Amuta, she has her own faith, but she sees them praying, and she hears the word praying in the name of Jesus. So she was like curious. You know what she did? She went to the kitchen and she started praying in the name of Jesus. And lo and behold, God started to answer each and every prayer. So first thing, she's a life full of problems. Okay, so first thing, back home in India, her son was doing very badly in his studies. He was like the last few in classes. And then the son and the daughter do not get along. They quarrel all the time. And then for herself, she's got multiple health issues, including a bleeding problem, like the woman in the Bible, you know. And as she prayed, the Lord did everyone. The son came into like the top in class or something like that. It's incredible. This is a good time. If you are doing PSLE, this is a good time to pray like that. Secondly, the son and daughter got along better. And thirdly, her health became a lot better. It came to a point where when Brother John asked the Tamil service amongst the migrant brothers, okay, the brothers. Now, how many of you are ready for baptism? So five hands shot up, five brothers, but there was another hand that shot up. Guess whose hand? It's Amuta's. She put up her hand and he was like, I didn't even know you're a Christian or you want to be, you know? And then when they sat down and listened to her story, they were stunned. They were stunned that this lady has been secretly praying to Jesus and how her life has been like deeply, deeply transformed. The truth is, when we see her, she now never stops speaking about Jesus, okay? So last year, she got baptized in our church in Woodlands. Okay, can you see the words there? Yes, yes, please clap. I mean, I really, really think this is a great celebration. I was there and to witness the baptism and to actually conduct it, and I was stunned by all the stories, including the other five brothers. But the story didn't end here for Amuta. Her life was so transformed, even her son and daughter, that when she took a home leave, she went back and they arranged for another pastor to baptize the son here. So his name is Vishnu, but now he's now called John Vishnu. What about that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And not only that, but the other five brothers, one of them, his name is Mati. This guy was, you know, he's got this bad habit of betting, gambling. You know, a lot of these workers are actually afflicted with these addiction issues, either drinking or, gambling. So Mati is like that, okay, one of these. But he came to know the Lord through the fellowship, and his life was changed, really changed. You know why we know that it was changed? Because his wife back home in India suddenly said, "You are a different man. You don't scold me anymore. What happened to you?" And he said, he has been attending church. And she was touched. So much so that when Marty went back for home leave, again, this is like part two, baptism. Okay? Baptism in the Indian River. Like, look at this. Oh, gosh. Okay. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm looking at God. You are doing something here. You are changing their lives. And I think if you look carefully at the slide on the right, the lady on the shore, I'm really puzzled at this lady. I asked Brother John, the leader, I said, "Do you know, is she a Christian or not?" He says, "I don't know this lady." But when I look at this picture, I got a very feeling that she's not very far off from the water and she might take the plunge soon. All right? God is on the move. God is on the move and He's doing transformation. And for many of these brothers and even sisters, it is not just about, oh yeah, I want to become a believer, you know, that kind of, but they're seeing values change, lives change, transformation, deep transformation. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? Christ lives in me. The center of gravity has changed. So we have wind, we have change. And what's the third word? Send. Send. And here we have Isaiah 6:8. Again, another very familiar verse. This is a very pivotal moment for Isaiah the prophet when God chose him in his state of unholiness. You know, when Isaiah met God's holiness, he said, "Oh, woe to me, I'm undone. Okay, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live amongst people of unclean lips. And the Lord sent a cherubim and his holiness to touch his lips. And then later on, he was cleansed. And after that cleansing, God did not just cleanse for cleansing's sake, but after the cleansing, he commissioned him. And he said, whom shall I send and who will go for us for our purposes, for God's purposes? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And I believe that ultimately, when we as believers, some of us or all of us say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, God will bring about other ones to say, I have been crucified with Christ. And eventually, in discipleship, in God transforming them, that they will come to a place of their lives when they say, here am I, send me, commission me. And we all know that Singapore has been known as the Antioch of Asia. Now, this is something that has been prophesied in some sense, in some circles, and even since the days of Billy Graham in 1978, where we can see a massive movement of God, many people turning to Christ, you know, God turning Singapore Godward, right? And also missionary, sending workers out. And over the last few decades, Singapore has been one of the very high, missionary sending churches and countries in the world. And of course, we know Korea and Latin American countries, many are being sent out from these countries right now. But Singapore has been, in a sense, instrumental. And when I ask God, you know, what really makes a good missionary in Singapore? I mean, you know, why would you choose us? Why would you choose us, Singapore Church? Why would you choose Singaporeans to be good missionaries? What makes us good missionaries? And then the Lord seems to tell me, you got the question wrong. In fact, he says, you should be asking, who makes a good missionary? As in, who will become a good missionary? And as I reflect on the question, what shot my eyes is that actually I realize that it's the migrant workers, the domestic helpers, that will actually become very good missionaries. Do you want to know why? Well, the truth is, many of these end up on our shores with very, very incredible and sad backstories. Many of them, whether they were from Indonesia or Philippines or Bangladesh, India, many of them had very difficult past, and by the time they came to Singapore, they are broken. They were hoping to enter into a space where they can develop their own lives and then send money back to their family. It's a very, very sad story. But out of that pain and out of the brokenness, especially when they encounter Christ, and because of the nature of the work that is so difficult to work from morning to evening, and especially for migrant brothers out there in the hot sun, you can imagine when they come to faith, they actually have the resilience to God is going to send them back one day, right, to their home countries. And they are the ones who can actually share the gospel in ways that we Singaporeans can never do. Okay, so I want to say, when God calls Singapore to be Antioch of Asia, I believe he's not just calling the Singaporeans, he's calling the people on our island. And this includes our migrant workers and our domestic helpers. So if you have a domestic helper at home, don't just see her as a domestic helper. Who knows? She might be a missionary one day, all right? So I want to bring back to this other picture that I've shown earlier. So the story of Arif has been shared. But the other gentleman on the left, the story of Ali, I think some of you have heard this story a little bit from Elder Johnny. He's a guy who, in coming to faith last year, he was baptized. And then when he went back for his home leave, he shared the gospel and tried to bring his wife to church a few times. Now, church is not just 30 minutes drive away. In order to go to church, you have to, this church is in the capital city of Dhaka, so he has to arrange for transport and arrive one night before, make sure that the next day they can have time to go to the service. And the very first time he did that with his wife, he only brought her close enough to the gate and she refused to go in, all right? But they persevered, he persevered, we continued to pray, and then the second time and the third time, she actually walked in, joined the service, met the pastor. And in the last service, they even gave her a Bible, all right? So this is something that we see that, they show traits of missionary hearts, okay, here. And I want to say the other story of, I'll call him MD, the guy who is on my right in the picture, okay, between me and my wife, okay? I call him MD. And this gentleman also came to faith, and last year he was baptized. when he went back for his home leave this year for 2 months, guess how many people he spoke to concerning Jesus? You want to guess? Like family, how many people? 5, 10? Okay, he spoke to 50 in 2 months. Okay, you can clap, because I don't think any of us would actually have done that, even if it's 1 year. But in the short 2 months, he just spoke. And this is not Singapore, this is Bangladesh we're talking about, where we know that, you know, Christianity is, we are minorities over there, and it's not easy. It's an environment that's pretty hostile, right? But he was unashamed. He has been crucified. And he said, "Lord, send me." And he's back in Singapore right now, working very hard. I think those of you in construction, you know that things, projects are not moving fast. He has to ask for God, "God, give me a job every day." This is a man of faith. These are people who are resilient. The Lord is going to send them. And one day, whether they're going to be sent back by the company or life circumstances, but God is going to send them into his mission field for his kingdom. All right? So win, change, and send. And that's how, when we think that, you know, this is something that we covenant as a disciple-making church should do, the reality is actually we're just partnering with God. He's the one on the move. All right? And really, as we really rise up and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," really, because it's the power of God, the rest, we're going to see him at work. So, as we close, what can we do? All right? Okay, we can't do many things. I'm not expecting all of us to be like, okay, as we step out, we become missionaries, although we can be missional. Every one of us can be missional. But I think it all begins with prayer. So there are three things that I hope we can do today, okay? As we step out, let's pray. But let's pray with our eyes open, that the Lord might be directing you to a man or a woman from another country here in Singapore. It might be not necessarily a migrant worker or a domestic helper. It could be a student, maybe, or on a campus. And or it could be somebody working in your company in an expat trade, okay? But it could even be your domestic helper at home that you can start with. Pray with your eyes open that God might touch this person through you. Okay, through you. Pray with your eyes open. Secondly, you can connect with us, because we are stronger together. You know, most of the work that we do, we don't do alone anymore, because we have the Tamil fellowship, we've got the Chinese fellowship, we've got the Filipino, Indonesian, and we also have a Bangladeshi outreach. We have this Blessed Migrant Workers Initiative, and we are very much a catalyst to work together with Covenanters, to empower, to partner together with our brothers from other nations, sisters, to share the gospel, to change lives, to listen to their stories, right, to celebrate God's goodness. And if you really felt compelled to do that, you don't have all the thoughts, no answers, you know, but you say, "I want to be part of that, Pastor Han," just drop us a line at BMW. Yes, it's BMW, not Mercedes, not Audi. It's BMW, okay? BMW at csc.org.sg. Just drop us a line, tell us about yourself and how the Lord has spoken to you, and we'll connect with you, all right? But this is just a preview, because Missions Month is coming up in 2 months' time, or three, in October, and we'll share more of what we can do here in Singapore, okay? Thirdly, so pray, connect, and lastly, give, okay? Give, practice hospitality. I think many of us, some of us actually have grown up overseas, or you have done a stint overseas, and if you have ever stayed in a local home there, you have been hosted, you have experienced hospitality, you know what we are talking about. Okay, many of these migrant brothers and domestic helpers, when they are here, a lot of them have not actually understood hospitality. And I think church, this is where we can learn so much. As we dig into the scripture, we find that actually the church is one that is very hospitable. And the culture of the Jews and the first Christians, hospitality speaks volume, all right? So in this picture, it's actually a picture of the Indonesian Fellowship. That's the one on the left. But the poster on the right is an event that we're actually hosting this very day, okay? This evening in the Woodlands Center from 4 to 6:30 p.m. We're going to turn the tables around. So the domestic helpers will be our guests. And so-called employers, we will be the host. We'll be serving them food, okay? We catered food, okay? We didn't cook. But we are going to serve the tables. So this is our time to appreciate them. And I want to say that many of you have already given to this project. The Lord has really amply supplied for this. But for the hospitality and the outreach ministry for migrant brothers and even domestic helpers, over this year, we would need more funds. And many of these monies have been spent in this Choa Chu Kang dormitory, especially among the Chinese, where every Sunday when they have their service, we also host them for a meal. And for the Chinese people, 没有饺子，没有这个教会, okay? Without dumplings, there is no church fellowship, okay? So it's like Teochew Nang, okay? Bo Orni, Ma Wisai, Bo Church. Okay, but these Chinese people, they have to have the dumplings. So anyway, dumplings aside, we cater good food because these workers work very hard and once a week, we host them. And with that, I want to end with this story of this other guy because sometimes when we think about giving, we only think of us covenanters giving. But let me share the story of this brother, Liu Yongqi is his name. He was already a Christian when he first came to Singapore decades ago. He was here a long time. But when he first came, his salary was so low that he did not have to pay income tax. Now, if your salary is low and you don't have to pay income tax, are you happy or sad? I hear more sad. I mean, if you're happy, it means that you're very contented. I don't have to pay income tax. You know what I mean? Okay. I experienced that before a long time ago, but that's another story. This brother, he worked his way up and eventually the Lord blessed him and he had to pay income tax. He got to a point where his salary, it was good and he had to pay income tax. But he didn't know. He paid all his income taxes until one day his other co-worker went up to him and said, "Do you know there's such a thing as tax rebate?" Tax rebate? What's that? Then he helped him, do the calculations. Say, "Oh, this is the money you can save. This is not tax evasion, this is tax rebate." So he managed to save some money. But guess what Liu Tixiong puts the money that he saved? Did he use it for his, other recreational activities or send back more money to his family? No. Here he is. He brought his money and he gave it to the Lord. He gave it to the Lord. All right. I don't know about you, but my heart is so blessed. And sometimes we think that, because we Singaporean church, we can give. We're actually known outside of Singapore to be a very prosperous country. It's a scary place, scary name actually. But I want to tell you that sometimes when you listen to many of these brothers' stories, you'll be dumbfounded. And here is Liu Tixiong, just a shining example of giving. So if you want to join together with him and all of us to give to the Lord, especially for the Migrant Workers Fund. Now what happened is, in 2020, during the peak of COVID, we raised, within a few weeks, almost $500,000, $400,000. And this was to bless the workers, to give the capex and the food to the dormitories. We used a contactless method. But our activities have changed over the last 3 to 4 years. So right now, a lot of what we do is to really reach out to pre-believers, and we host many of these for meals, whether the Tamil workers in Sembawang or the Chinese workers in Choa Chu Kang or other Bangladeshi workers, we are really playing host to them. All right. So if you want to give, right now, these funds of about 400,000 have come to an end. It's almost depleted. So we are projecting for the year ahead, asking God, would you let Covenant continue to host these brothers and sisters? So if you feel led to, you want to scan this, you have to scan this with your banking app, okay? And in it, please include MWF, which stands for Migrant Workers Fund. But if you still are not sure, you can just take a picture with your normal camera so that you can pray about it over the next week and ask God what He wants you to do with the monies, okay? So this is for MWF, Migrant Workers Fund, and really, give because it's so exciting that when we give, God will multiply in ways that we'll never expect. Okay? Win, change, and send. That's what God is doing. And He wants us to join Him. So maybe as I invite the worship team to get ready as we close with one song, I thought it would be good as we continue to give thanks to God and really, sing 1,000 hallelujahs because God is about His great work and He has counted us worthy to join Him in His work. And as we pray, He will lead us to win, change, and send. And really, win, change, and send is not humans invent, It is a God intent. Okay, this is the heart of God, because He's the true blesser of all peoples and all nations, even those here in Singapore. So shall we pray, and then I'll get Sean to lead us in the closing song. Lord, we thank You, God, that we are so privileged in Covenant to be part of blessing our migrant brothers and sisters, Lord, and to come to their stories, listen to their stories, and to know that somewhere along the way, when we ourselves say we are not ashamed of the gospel, that, Lord, You lead them to a place when they can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and that they can even say, oh Lord, send me. Because, Lord, in Your kingdom, there's no expats, or there's no Singaporeans, there's no professionals and so-called work permit holders. In Your kingdom, we're all one. And we want to pray, Father, that all of these who are the harassed and the helpless, that when they have been found by the shepherd, that they will be Your under-shepherds out there to chase the thousand for Jesus. For God, would You do that for us, for Your great name and the honor of Your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say together, amen. Amen. Amen.
Can we thank Pastor Horn for that very, very inspiring sermon? Thank you so much. Shall we all stand? We're going to respond to the Lord with this song, Great Awakening. Let's sing this by faith as we declare that there will be a great awakening in Singapore and to the foreigners here in Singapore. Come, let's sing. Lord, pour out Your Spirit.
Pour out Your Spirit.
As we sing this, we declare that the Word of God and the Gospel will go out to all the foreign workers. So as we sing this, let's declare by faith.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.